I ask you to stand in honor of God's word. If it is difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse, the word of the most holy God says this. After looking at the way things are on this earth, here's what I've decided is the best way to live. Take care of yourself and have a good time and make the most of whatever job you have for as long as God gives you life. And that's about it. That's the human lot. Yes, we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it. Accepting what is given and delighting in the work. It's God's gift. God deals out joy in the present, the now. It is useless to brood over how long we might live. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One of the things that I have noticed as I continue to age, some days more rapidly than others, is that the longer I live, the more I think about some things more, and the more I think about how some things that I used to think were so important don't even cross my mind anymore. Because I think, as God gives you wisdom with age, and we hope that happens, that we learn more about what life is supposed to be. The writer of this is Solomon. He wrote this when he was very old, the book of Ecclesiastes. Don't read it if you're depressed, because it sounds kind of like a depressing book, but it's really not. Ecclesiastes is a parable or a set of parables on a quest. What is the meaning of life? And he says, the teacher or the preacher says that through time and experience, he's learned that there are good times and there are bad times, but you can still live with zest in a less than perfect world. You can live a life well lived even in an imperfect world. So how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you ask. What makes a life well lived? Well, most of the time the world will tell you that the first thing that comes to mind is to have enough money, whatever that means. I don't think I've ever met anybody who has enough money. We tend to think that there's never enough. We're always concerned about running out or a lack of money. Lack of resources. It's one of the things that we probably worry about the most. It's also one of the things that breaks up more marriages than any other single thing. Worries about money. Well, maybe it's power. Maybe if you had the power to do what you wanted to do, then that would be a life well lived. Or maybe if you received a lot of honors. I've got a couple of things hanging up in my office and in my office at home. I've got a plaque that means a lot to me. It is a plaque that was given to one person a year at my seminary, and for the first time they gave it to more than one person because they gave it to Gary and me. And I have that plaque up in my office. It's a very humbling kind of honor because I never really felt like that I deserved it. But someday, that's going to be in the trash because my family don't want it. It doesn't mean anything to them. It's not going to mean anything. All those trophies that you've got, your kids will put in a rummage sale or throw away. And even if they hang on to it, it's going to be up in the attic until somebody buys that house and goes, who left all this junk up here? Honors are fleeting. Well, maybe we live a good life, we need to have a lot of fun. Of course, that's okay, you know, depending on what you call fun. But a lot of people party themselves to death. But it's hollow in the end. It's hollow. All of the things that I've got listed there, a good education and business, you know, raising up in a business, possessions, feasting, adventures, even having a long life, really are all fleeting things. And there's nothing wrong with anything up there. It's just, that's not what makes a well-lived life. The teacher or the preacher, depending on what your version says, told us in the scripture today what makes up a well-lived life. And the first thing is, a well-lived life lived only one day at a time. Now that sounds just common sense, doesn't it? To just live one day at a time, but how many of us actually do that? How much of today is spent worrying about tomorrow or regretting yesterday? Or missing something from yesterday? Can we just like really talk? You with me? I can be real. Won't judge me, right? Had a hard week. I've had a hard week. I've had a real hard week. This week I've missed Gary so much. Sometimes I feel like I can't breathe. And I'm trying to get back to today. I'm trying to live today instead of regretting what is gone. Because today has joys of its own. It's still a good life. But we all do it. I don't want you all to think that just because I stand up here and say these things and preach doesn't mean I don't struggle too. I still struggle with these things. I struggle with regrets. I struggle with things that I miss. I don't really concern myself that much about the future because I may not make it through today. And that's okay. But I've taught myself not to worry about the future. Now, if I could just stay here now. And most of the time I can, but sometimes I don't live one day at a time. Sometimes I don't. Am I alone or do you all do that too? Y'all do that too? Okay, good. Not good that you do it, but I'm glad I'm not alone. Let's just live for today. Or no, scratch that, said it wrong. Let's live in today, not for today. Let's live for eternity, but let's live in today because today is what we've got. This minute is what we've got. In a few minutes, we're going to go downstairs and have a feast. Some of the best cooks in Sullivan County are in this church. And all that's downstairs. And I'm not going to worry about anything else but enjoying that feast with my family here. Let's live in this moment. Let's just be here now. But there's something else besides just living one day at a time. There's a few questions you need to ask yourself every morning. And the very first one you need to ask, based on the scripture that we just read, is what can I do today to better myself? If you're perfect, raise your hand. Danny would if he was in here. Well, he still thinks he's perfect, though. All right, nobody raised their hand. We never stop improving ourselves. What can we do to improve ourselves, to make ourselves more like God intended us to be, more the person that he had in mind when he created us? What can we do today to better myself? What can you do?
Love each other.
Love each other. You can, that's good, but what about just for you? What can we, name one thing that you can do just for yourself that will make you a better you. Well, good Lord, I'm glad we had this conversation.
Learn something.
Get some exercise. Ew.
Have a facelift.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who looks in the mirror and goes. Take some time out for yourself. I took almost a whole day off on Friday. And I rather enjoyed it. I might do that again someday. It was actually fun. I'm going to do that again. We all need some downtime. Sometimes the best thing you could do for yourself is to take a nap. Sometimes the best thing that you can do for yourself is invest yourself in different things than you are investing yourself in now. But do something for you that will make you more what God intended when he created you. Then also ask, what can I do to help someone else? That's where loving other people comes in. What are you going to do today that's really going to help somebody? Yeah, the casseroles downstairs count. But what else are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, you have to be deliberate. You have to be deliberate. It doesn't just happen.
Well, it's going to take some work to do this Monday night thing.
It'll take some work to do the Monday night thing. I hope a lot of you all will volunteer to help with that, to set up and break down, and some people to be here, because it doesn't do just a whole lot of good to bring the community in if there's nobody here from the church to be with them and just get to know them. I'm not asking to take them on the Roman road and ask them if they found Jesus. Just say hello. Make them feel comfortable being in God's house. Because a lot of people who come aren't in God's house, and some of them may have never been. This is a scary place for people who've never walked in the doors. They have all these preconceived notions, which will go straight out the window as soon as they meet us. For good or ill, just take that as it is. But we need to help them. We need to help them find their way. What are we going to do today? Don't just ask yourself in general. Remember, today's all we got. So we ask, what today am I going to do to help somebody? Maybe it's just a phone call. You know, one of the things I hear as a pastor more often than anything else is, I know I need to. I keep telling myself I need to. I keep meaning to. That's why I say it doesn't happen unless you set yourself a goal. First thing in the morning, of just at least one thing you're going to do for somebody else today. Maybe all it takes is a phone call. Drop by and see Mary Martha. Send a card to Marie Calton. Just one thing. Call Lucille, because she's very worried about her son right now. What one good thing are you going to do? At least one. What are you going to do today to improve your productivity? Now, some of you all are retired, so don't think that this lets you out. But I'm going to talk first to the people who are employed by somebody else. What are you going to do to make yourself worth what they pay you? Even if you think you're underpaid, let me ask you, what are you going to do better to earn the money that your employer pays you? Shouldn't you always be striving to do your job better? One of the things that's said in this scripture is take joy in the work that you have to do. What are you going to do better? How are you going to improve? How are you going to become more productive? Now, the reason I put it in there in terms of more productive is most of the retired people I know wonder how they ever had time to work in the first place and are trying to do 50 million things, but doing 50 million things does not make you productive. What are you going to do that's really important work for you to do today? And try to find the joy in it. It says that God gives us two things. He gives us gifts and he gives us the capacity to enjoy them. It's not that you can't enjoy it. It's that you choose not to. I have found that you can even, given the right circumstances and on the right day, enjoy cleaning the house. Admittedly, that's a stretch. That's a stretch, I admit. But there's such a feeling of accomplishment when it's done. Even if what you get out of your work is that feeling of accomplishment, the things that we do on this earth are temporary. But that doesn't mean they're not important. That doesn't mean that it's not important. We're a part of that tapestry. We're a thread in that tapestry of eternity that, yeah, it may just be one little thread or a couple of stitches over this course of time, but each one is important. The picture could never be complete without it. A well-lived life keeps God in the center of everything. Used to have this little plaque that I set on my desk. I have no idea what happened to it, but I wish I could find it again, because it says, put God in the center and everything else will come together. Put God in the center of everything that you do. A well-lived life is a God-centered life. Christian life is supposed to be fulfilling, and it is supposed to be enjoyable. We get so caught up in the do-not-do-not-do-nots that we forget all the wonderful promises and all the things that we get to do. Don't anybody point at me. And taking care of yourself is important. Barb just bit her tongue right off. Taking care of yourself is important. Taking care of others is important. Doing your best is important. The things here are going to come and go. But a life well lived is an investment in eternity. Nobody may ever know your name, and you may not have something named after you, and you may not have one of those little brass plaques anywhere in the church. But each life. As long as it's well lived. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.